Welcome to Real Life Real Estate, your inside look at life, listings, and everything real. I'm Wendy Wendorf, your host, top producing realtor in Washington County at Homestead Realty. This podcast is all about real people, real stories, and real estate because life and business both come with roadblocks, curves, and surprises along the way. Today's guest is someone I knew I had to have on the show. We actually met through marketing and billboards. And after our first conversation, I was like, oh my God, I need to get him on my podcast. Welcome, welcome, Bob Jewell.
Thank you, Wendy. Excited to be here.
I'm so excited. So Bob, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who is Bob Jewell and like, what do you do?
Well, that is a great question, Wendy. First and foremost, I am a family man dedicated to my wife, Lisa, 34 years, and all my children. If you Google the definition, entrepreneur.
Yes, yes, yes.
It reads as follows. A person who organizes and operates a business or businesses, assuming a much greater financial risk than a normal person would. So basically what that's saying is entrepreneurs don't think normally.
No, we're not normal.
Yeah, we're not normal. We're not normal. It is a blessing and a curse all in the same breath.
So, yes.
I'm a God-fearing person who tries to show humility and integrity in all I do. That's pretty simple. That's really who I am, and I'm excited to be here and talk more about it. I would like to ask if it's okay, could I thank the veterans?
Oh my gosh, thank them all day long.
Absolutely, because I know Veterans Day was yesterday. My father was a World War II veteran. He was a decorated war hero. So thank you to all the veterans.
You're so cool, Bob.
I know yesterday was their day, so.
So it starts there, like why I think you're so interesting. First of all, you don't even like tell us about your business now, so then people get an idea like how I do know you.
Okay, so I've been in the billboard business for probably 25 years. I was able to own and operate my own sign company back in the mid 90s. I took a real risk trying to obtain a loan from a traditional lender.
Yeah,
was extremely difficult. My lender was actually trying to talk me out of it. He was saying, why are you doing this? Why are you investing in signs? He said, there's no value. And I'm like, well, there is value. There is contractual value. There is business value. There's future revenue. So I'm trying to explain this to a lender and they're like, no, we're not going to give you the loan. So what I did is I went out and I found what I call a hard money lender. And as you know,
that's scary.
It is very scary. Hard money lenders.
But it makes us work harder. It makes us work harder.
It does. It does. And you know that they're going to be charging you very high interest rates on the money they borrow you. So I was able to, you know, make that work. It was a risk. It took many years, but we were able to turn it around. And, you know, we ended up selling off that inventory and made a profit.
Oh, so, yeah. And you're super successful now. I think you're downplaying that. How I met you is you hit all the egotistical people around town and you're like, you should be on a billboard. And I'm like, yeah. Totally. And then I came to you with like a script, like, and you're like, it's 7 words or less, lady. And that totally changed my thinking. I think in a world of like Facebook and all that, mm-hmm. you have changed my thinking about a simple billboard and the branding. Now everybody will say, I see you all over. And I'm like, it's the billboard. It's the billboard.
I appreciate that. That's really what it is. Billboards are, you know, traditionally it's all about impressions.
Impressions. That's the word. Yes.
Impressions. How many times are people going to see you in a day, a week, a month, a year, right? And they may not need your services at that exact moment. It may be 2-3 months down the road. Okay, I'm looking for a house, or maybe I'm thinking about selling my house. Who's the lady I saw on the sign? And then it kind of comes back, and it's just, it's more of a subliminal message that they finally realize, okay, Wendy Wendorf was the girl that I've been looking at, the lady I've been looking at for the last 6 months. I need to call her.
So my first question is, you've faced some twists and turns in your career. What are some of the biggest roadblocks you've overcome to get you to where you are today?
Another great question, of course. I did give that one a lot of thought. I'd probably say the death of my father at age 10 was you know, obviously the first real tragic event that I went through in my life.
Let's talk about that.
Sure.
Before you gloss over it, one, your dad was like this amazing person. So how many kids are in your family at the time when you're 10?
6.
And then what birth order are you?
I was the baby. I was the youngest of 6.
Yeah.
So My father had me at a ripe old age of 46 years old. My mom was 41. So it wasn't I think I was an oops baby.
Really? I don't think so.
I do. Because the Catholic faith back in those days were very strict on birth control.
Right, right.
So let's just keep popping out more and more children. I grew up on a block, ironically, we had over 65 kids within 3-block radius.
That's fun.
It was fun. It was a great place to grow up.
Where did you go to high school at?
I went to Whitnall High School in Greenfield. I grew up in Hills Corners. And then I ended up graduating. I actually left the public schools and went to a private school and graduated from a Christian school, a Christian academy. At one time, I was pondering becoming a minister.
What?
Yeah.
I did not know this about you.
Ma'am.
So take us back. So I glossed over. Take us back to when you're 10 and you lose your dad. What happens or what brother steps up? Is it all boys?
We had 5 boys and 1 girl.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. So my sister was number 2.
Yeah.
So she was, she was awesome. She was my dad's. Obviously, she was his princess.
Yeah.
So what brother stepped up? Well, a lot of my brothers were already out of the house.
Right.
One was married. My sister was already married. My other brother was close to being engaged. And then the 2 closest brothers in age to me were a junior and senior in high school. So there was a pretty big gap between my brother Tim and myself.
Right.
Pretty big gap. So what happens is it was a very tough time.
It was tough. Extremely hard. Mom too.
Yeah. My mom was extremely strong spiritually. And she kept us going. And it was a rough time. It was, I tell people that I went through my high school years, angry and pissed off.
Right.
It's kind of how I was, angry about that. I was able to channel a lot of that back into sports. I was a decent enough athlete where I could go out and, play football or baseball and channel a lot of that aggression out on the field. So
you graduate high school and then tell me.
Well, then I'm thinking about going on to a Bible college, and after analyzing it, I just knew that I wouldn't be able to handle the schooling. I just was not the kind of guy that's going to go through that many years of schooling. So,
but does your faith still in you though? You're still like loving God, and you still have that faith in you, right?
It came back when I was 18 because the Christian school really, really turned me around. There were some amazing people there. I can speak of one guy. I still talk with him today, Pastor David Johnson. He's now retired.
Right.
A phenomenal guy. Helped me with my faith. Got me back on track. Made me a believer. And at that point in time, it was like I basically gave my life over to Christ. And it hasn't been easy. It's not this magical thing that happens. You have to work at it.
Yeah.
You have to really work at your faith.
And you have to live it.
You have to live it. And I have backslidden. I've done things.
Right.
But you just continue. You know that you're in God's grace, God's faith, and you will be forgiven if you ask for forgiveness. So that's kind of how I've tried to live my life.
And some of us gritty business owners start off like with some wacky jobs. Like after high school, did you go on to college, or are you just getting these sales jobs that make you such a good, strong leader later?
Well, I did go to college, and I ended up dropping out, and then I went back to technical college, and I ended up getting a 2-year degree in the marketing. I was always what the nuns called a daydreamer.
Yeah, yeah.
Sitting in class, Mr. Jewell, what are you doing staring out the window? I'm thinking about things. So, interestingly enough, and then I went right into sales and marketing. I was a garbage man for 6 years. I love that story. I love to tell the story
of driving
a garbage truck back in the day when you literally had to get out of the truck to lift cans up.
Yes, yes, yeah.
Everything is automated nowadays. So I love telling that story. It's probably one of the most unique jobs I ever had in my life. I was proud to do it. I worked for my brother. My brother had a very successful garbage company, which is still in operation today, that my nephew runs. And I just enjoyed it. I just this is easy. This is, no thinking involved.
Right, right. So, and now we got jobs where you have to think.
How
do you become a business owner of the sign, Wisconsin Sign?
Well, that was you know, pretty easy. It was kind of a natural fit for what I was already doing. I had the billboards. I had the school media going already at that time. And then I just said, you know what, we need to move into the restaurant areas. And that's kind of how we, you know, it's kind of how we're going. You know, we're going that way. Anything digital nowadays in this industry is really, really doing well. So.
And I mean, you've done other things, like you were the alderman, you're a community person. Mm-hmm. You raised the kids in Hartford. Mm-hmm. So you've been doing other things throughout all of this.
I have been. And I never had any intentions of running for alderman. I was asked by some business owners for a more conservative, you know, perspective. At the time, the Hartford board was it was pretty one-sided,
right?
You know, leaning more, you know, more towards the left, I guess, if you want to say it.
Right.
And I'm all about small businesses. I want low taxes. Okay, I want the government to stay out of my life.
And, me too. Right? Me too.
Right?
Yeah.
And protect us, right? Protect us. Mm-hmm. That's what you're supposed to do. But don't tax us to death. But right. Look what's happening now.
Well, we can't talk about that today.
No. That's a whole other topic. But
I do want to talk to you that I know, like, I came to your office just maybe a year ago, and I'm like, oh my God, the word on the street is you're running for mayor. Are you running for mayor? Are you running for mayor? And you're like, I know, I'm hearing it too, but it wasn't true. You didn't run for mayor.
No,
Were you thinking about it?
Oh, yes. Absolutely thinking about it. But just the timing wasn't right. I had a lot of things going on.
Do you think the timing will be right again?
It could be. We'll see how the next 3 years.
Do you really believe in Washington County like
this? Absolutely, I love it. I mean, this is where I raised my kids. I love the community. Hartford's been a wonderful, place to raise my kids. It's a great community, and again, it was never my intention of ever getting involved in politics. It was more or less I need to learn more about government.
You're right.
Am I going to do that?
Right.
Am I going to sit on the sidelines and complain and bitch about it, or am I going to get involved?
Right. So the theme of today is triumph over roadblocks and curves in the roads. When things get tough or have in business, how did you push through it and like keep going?
Well,
I love that you're prepared for this podcast. I've never had that happen before. I love it.
Really?
Yeah, I love that about you.
I could sit and ramble on about it, but I would, you know, my problem is I have a tendency to get off focus.
I know. You and I could be here for like 9 hours.
We probably could be. So I said, I better bring some notes to this, right, so, you know, keep myself on task. So when things get tough, what kept me going? It was my faith and spirituality, my wife and kids, you know, unwavering belief in me. My mom taught me a lot of good life lessons after my dad passed. You know, referred back to taking things one day at a time.
Right. What did your mom do when your dad passed? Did she have to go back to work?
Luckily, no. My mom was a school teacher.
Oh, I didn't know this. Okay.
Yeah, great. You know, love teaching, was, you know, great at it. We were raised to speak properly, to spell properly, to be articulate. So I thank her for that. When you're young, you don't appreciate that. But when you're older now in business, you do appreciate it.
Right.
My father was a very successful corporate attorney.
He was? Mm-hmm. I did not know this. Mm-hmm. How did he pass? Because he was not old. He was younger than us.
He was 55.
55. How did he pass?
Heart attack. So.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know he was an attorney.
He's an attorney, yeah, for a big corporation, Philip Morris Industrials.
Wow.
So.
And then were your brothers and your sister have, like, high-powered jobs like yours?
Yes, my oldest brother, he died in 2013 of cancer.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he was just getting near retirement age. He ran a very large trucking company, but he was also a school teacher. So he did both.
Nice.
Very intelligent. Like, his intelligence level was way above anything I ever had
put together.
Yeah. Yeah. Where he struggled more would be like in the, not that he even struggled, but, you know, the ability to go out and just, have a normal conversation.
Like hang out.
Yeah, just hang out.
Yeah.
And I love
them. Us dummies can really hang out. I mean, I can really hang out.
I mean, I love them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, don't get me wrong. And I worked for him for many years. He was not always that easy guy to work for, but he was always fair. Yeah.
You know, I've had some really horrible bosses looking back that I should have quit, and I just kept hanging on. And now I'm like, that's what she meant. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? So then tell me about your sister.
She was a stay-at-home mother, but she went to Madison.
Wow.
She was smart too. She was involved in a car accident when she was younger that she had a lot of back problems from, which she still suffers from today. She went on to marry a business guy. They had three kids. She's basically, you know, in retirement now. She's in her 70s.
So your parents were just like so proud of you. I mean, you came from such an important figure, right? And then, but all you kids turned out really great.
Well, we did. We tried.
Did any of your brothers have any problems?
I'm making
him talk about it, guys. I'm getting us to that point. See how I'm
getting in there? Yeah, my one brother.
I love this story.
Not to elaborate too much, but you know, he's the guy that I probably respect the most. He had some, he dealt with some pretty serious issues in his life. And he, you know, he was able to turn his life around.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I respect him. I know that he, for years, he felt bad for, you know, about what he did, blah, 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 whatever. Right. But he turned his life around. Great guy, phenomenal guy. And, that's about all I can really say on that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So was there a moment that you like almost gave up, and what changed your like mindset?
That's another great question. Probably the biggest moment of my life where I could honestly say that it was like, how am I going to work through this back in 2008-09 when I had an ex-partner in embezzled $225,000 from me.
And like how you get through without being violent towards them, or like, I don't think you're not as emotional as like a woman, but like, why? Why would he do that? We were making so much money together. You didn't have to steal it. We would have just made it.
That's a question. That's a great,
You know what
question.
I'm saying? Did you ever like go through that?
Absolutely. Oh, are you kidding me? Every day for 3 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I had my mom telling me, you got to snap out of this. I had my wife telling me we need to move on. And I understood that.
No, but you get stuck in it.
You get stuck in it.
As you're trying to rebuild it.
As you're trying to rebuild it.
Because I haven't told this story, but I had some realtors that I worked with who were on my team that like turned against me when we could have just made the money together, girls. It wasn't that serious. Nothing's that serious.
No, it's not. And why did they turn against you?
I don't know why.
Because
I'm awesome. I mean, you know, my mom said because they're jealous of me. Hey, my mom said because they're jealous of me. So that's what I'm holding on to. But like, why did your guy steal money when you could have just made it together?
Easy answer now. Mm-hmm. I didn't know at the time, but he was hemorrhaging money through other businesses at the time. And he was trying to keep his head above water.
So robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Absolutely.
Which it's okay to do with your electricity bill, but it's not okay to do if we got
Absolutely.
A business together.
Absolutely. And we had no idea how bad it was until after the whole scenario played out.
And you lost everything.
I lost $225,000 of my own money. Gone. Mm-hmm. That took me years to get that.
We're not young, so it's hard to replace that.
At the time, I had a young family. We had to sell our house. I knew I wasn't going to be able to keep the house, so we sold it. The best advice I can give is that if you get into a situation where you're in, where we can't see any light, daylight, you have to communicate. You got to be talking with your lenders, talking with the boards, telling them what you're doing. Don't just lay down and roll over and hope that things are going to go away. It doesn't work that way.
And a good pep talk from your mom helped.
It did.
Get out of it.
It did. And the one and only time in my life that I had to borrow some money from mom, she was happy to do it. I was able to pay her back every dime before she passed. It was super important to me. Never had to come to her at all. Up until that point, she was more than happy to do it. She had the financial resources to do it.
Right.
So that really, that helped. But on the flip side, we have a choice. Are we going to move through life and just be angry all the time, or are we going to move past it?
Oh, and then faith, right?
And faith.
And then that's the stuff your mom would bring up to you too. Like, well, have faith. I mean, why did you have all this faith for so long, but then in that hole, you couldn't find it? And it's funny, when you find it, you're better than ever. The setback is the greatest comeback.
I like that. And, you know, that's a really good analogy. The setback is the greatest comeback. But you make the choice of whether you're going to come back or you're not, you know, and you really got to fight through a lot of things. I had a young family. I had to move. So my youngest child was my daughter. She's awesome. She's very smart.
How many kids do you have? Three.
Three, yeah. Mm-hmm. She's way smarter than I ever was from a textbook perspective.
That. Yeah, I love that.
I had to move her away from her best friend. Now, we didn't move out of the community. We had to move across town because we had to sell our house. That was tough. It was tough for me to witness. She was very angry at me. She had every right to be. It was nothing that I ever did intentionally. You know, business transactions can go sideways.
And they're going to.
Yeah, it happens every day. What we learned about my ex-partner was that he was so far in debt, he was over $3 million in debt. The banks were still loaning him money, which to this day I can't comprehend that.
Right.
The lending institutions, why they're trying to get this guy, maybe they felt like they could loan him out of it. I don't know. But I do know that the hole he put me in was astronomical. Then about a year or two after this, he commits suicide.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, shoots himself.
Yep. You know what? That's interesting because you said you should be talking to the lender if you are in that hole. If he would have talked to you about it, instead of stealing, you would have been like, okay, dude, I'm here. We're bros. Mm-hmm. We're going to do more work, or let's invade Sheboygan County. Let's get it done. Mm-hmm. But he was so deep in his circle. So I'm not understanding him because he was a criminal. But you understand that what desperate he was. Like, give up two of those businesses, buddy.
I know.
You could have talked him through it because you're so smart about it.
I definitely would have tried, right? Because, here he's having an affair with our nurse. Our nurse is half his age. My employees.
That happens with you men. I don't know. Understand it. We'll talk about that another time.
I don't understand it either. But So I had my staff coming to me saying, you know, they call me Mr. Bob. It was, it's a special name they gave me. Mm-hmm. He said, he's at it again. And I'm like, what do you mean? Well, he's having an affair with the nurse. His wife finds out about it. She immediately files for a divorce. Wow. I get a fax that day from one of my lenders saying, you need to read
fax.
This.
He said fax. I know. Anybody under 40 will not know. Call me later.
I know. It was a fax.
It was a fax. Yeah. What did it say?
And it said, you need to read this immediately. So I read all of it. I'm like, oh. And that's when it kind of started unraveling. I use the analogy of when you flush the toilet, the water starts to circle and it just continues to go down. And this is exactly what happened to him.
Yeah.
So he stole the money that we had for me, but it was nowhere near enough money to get him out of debt.
Yeah.
It was just, he was basically doomed.
Yeah.
I wish things would have went differently, but they didn't. You live and learn.
And then you figure out you're never having a partner again.
No.
And I think you're like, we're so brother and sister because, and it's not true, and it's not true in your case, but I feel a need to succeed really for my family. Like, I got a wedding coming up. I got college paid for. Baby needs some tires. Yeah. I want to take Kevin to Jamaica, or I want to do what I want to do. Mm-hmm. So that was even more like a mind game for you, is like, you didn't think you could take care of your family. Even though your wife would have worked, it's totally fine.
No, that was the most horrible.
Or like you just talked about your daughter. How old was she at the time?
See, two, I was about eight. She was about seven.
Okay, and seven. Yeah. She doesn't remember her best friend. It didn't matter. You moved her across town,
right?
But you still remember that.
Because
that's what
you're
holding on. Let go. Yeah. She doesn't remember.
No,
and she wouldn't have been friends. That girl would have never stood up in her wedding anyway. So just let that chick go.
Yeah, right. We would have. It was, we built this beautiful house. We had this beautiful marsh behind us, a lot of memories.
Yeah.
But like I told my family, I had to keep reassuring all of them that the house is only a brick and mortar, right? Mm-hmm. The memories come with us, right?
Yeah.
Every memory we ever made in that house comes with us on to the next.
Or I'll buy a bigger and better one someday. So it doesn't matter.
From Wendy Wendorf, really.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Buy for me. Buy from me. What do you want, that big house? Because after that, you regrouped. Went back to your roots, right? Am I right?
Yes.
Went back to signs and blew it up.
I'm doing well. Yeah. I don't like to.
Yeah. That's how we met, is billboards, which, my God, it's such an investment, but it's been so worth it because the added value gave me. Like, I was just thinking about that billboard, to see my face and like take pictures for my mom.
Yeah.
Really, really.
We see all of her.
Yeah. Too. And now,
you see all of Washington County.
Now I'm in the restaurants. Now I'm doing other things. It's been such amazing, amazing added value to my business. And you taught me the best thing. we as realtors go to all these conferences and conventions and workshops about marketing and branding. And you said this to me, I just need seven words. Seven words.
You remember that little conversation we had, huh?
No, I'm bringing in everything, right? People are JP chatting this in a Facebook post.
Why?
I'm seven words.
Why?
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
The attention span right now of the average consumer is very, 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 very low because we're bombarded with a lot of things. So why do we want to try and overemphasize something that's simple?
Like, right.
You're selling homes. I mean, you are not, by any means, you are not the normal real estate broker. You are doing phenomenal.
Right? I'm doing phenomenal.
I mean, yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, the numbers you're throwing at me, like astronomical. Like,
why do you think people use me?
Why? Because you are aggressive and you will get the job done.
Well, as women, we're not allowed to say aggressive, although I am. I really am relentless. I write a good offer, right? Top value, and I will get you top dollar when you sell. So, and that's what we used on the billboard. Top value. Wendy Wendorf loves Washington County. There you go. Seven words.
How was the billboard helped you guys?
Just the impressions. The impressions. People will say, I see you all over. I will see you all over.
And you know it's related to
that. Or I always think it's cute. Or I do a little contest. Like, if you can find me in a restaurant in Washington County and take a picture, you'll win a gift. They love that. I love that game.
Yeah, but see, you're way more like your creative limits have no boundaries. Like, you're always thinking outside the box.
No, because I love Washington County.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. Well, yeah, this is where we live and work.
So if someone's listening right now and going through their own curve in the road, losing a business, having a business partner, having horrible, just whatever, going through divorce, whatever, whether it's business, real estate, or life, what advice would you give them?
Boy, that's another great question. I thought long and hard about that one. And there's a quote that I try and live by. There's a quote and there's a biblical scripture that I always try and live by. And I always try and revert back to that when everything, when times are going tough. I love this quote by Warren Buffett. Now, I'm not going to say that I agree with everything Warren Buffett stands for, but you cannot deny he's a very successful businessman.
Right, right.
So I read, you know, several of his books. The one quote that stuck with me is you will continue to suffer if you have an emotional reaction to everything said to you.
Gosh, right.
Or done to you, right? I've had stuff said to me and done to me. True power is sitting back and observing all things with logic, not emotion. How many times do we get emotional about things?
Oh my gosh, right? Here, 50 times a day.
True control and power is restraint. So if words can control you, everyone else can control you. So you have to think about that. Think about the logic behind that. It may be simple, but it's really, really powerful logic, right? Breathe deeply, take a deep breath, and allow things to pass, right? And then thinking, I'm always one that thinking can save your life. And people go, what do you mean by that? Instead of rolling over and just dying, right? Or rolling over and hoping it's going to go away, let's think, how can we work through this? And there's always a way.
Right.
There's always a way to get through things. It may not be the way you want it, but there's always a way to get through it. That's the best advice that I could give. The scripture I live by is Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2, looking unto Jesus Christ. He is the author and finisher of our faith. That's my life.
Yeah, that is. That's good. So, Bob, thank you so much for joining me today.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
No, your story is proof that no matter what is happening, no matter how the road is winding, you can push through it. I am Wendy Wendorf, your host and top producing realtor in Washington County. This has been Real Life Real Estate, your inside look at life, listings, and everything real. And until next time, remember, every curve in the road is just leading you somewhere new.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Wendy?
Yeah. That was good. That was so good. I could talk to you for 9 hours.